4 this morning, Hebrews chapter 4. As you're turning there, let me say it's so good to see each and every one of you this Lord's Day. I know we have several visitors with us this morning. You're an honored guest, as Caleb had already mentioned. We're glad that you're here, and we certainly would like to get to know you more before you leave here this morning. So let's make sure we do that. For all of us as members of this congregation, let's make sure we reach out a hand to those visiting with us this morning and just welcome them and glad that you're here this morning. So we're looking at the throne of grace out of Hebrews chapter 4, and I believe it's fitting, especially Caleb and I didn't really even talk about the song selection this morning. Knowing that Brent wasn't going to be able to lead, he put some songs together and threw them over to me, and we put them together on the screen and all, but very fitting this morning for what the discussion is going to be out of Hebrews chapter 4 with regard to prayer. And a lot of what we've sung this morning actually correlates with what we're going to be considering this morning with regard to prayer and what it is that God desires from us in our prayers. As I was putting this together, I started thinking about the importance of prayer and how it's been rightly said that for Christians, prayer is like breathing. And I think we understand that, but just kind of drive that home a little bit more, physically speaking, because of the pressure that is upon our lungs. We can't help but breathe. In fact, it makes it harder to not breathe. And that's why it's so difficult when you try to hold your breath, the pressure, the atmospheric pressure that presses down on you, it causes you to have to breathe. And so you cannot hold your breath indefinitely. Even those that can hold their breath for a long period of time eventually have to breathe. And so it is with us as Christians. When we're born into the family of God, we arrive into this spiritual atmosphere that compresses upon us. And as we go through this life, as we're going through the difficulties and the needs and all these other things, God's presence is ever before us, and His presence that is before us exerts this great pressure upon us that brings us to a point of needing to pray, just like we need to breathe. And so when we think about this as a believer, prayer should be a normal aspect of our everyday lives. This should be something that is so commonplace in our lives, not something that is taken for granted, but something that we are glad to be able to partake of, to go to God and to go to the throne room and to be able to pray to God. Only can we then survive in this world of darkness when we know that we are able to have this direct communication with our Heavenly Father. And not only be able to have that line of communication that is open to us, but to know that He hears and He answers prayer. It's also been rightly said that God doesn't answer prayer the way that we want to answer. Sometimes He does offer up a yes, but sometimes it's a no. And probably the hardest aspect of God's answering to prayers is wait. The idea that I have to wait when I want something right now is very difficult. It's called patience. But here's the thing, God knows best. God knows our needs, the greatest needs, the simplest needs that we have in our life, better than you and I can ever understand our own needs. God knows what we truly need. We know what we need in a way of what we want, but it's not always in correlation with God's will. That's why it's important that when we pray according to the will of God, not our own will. And this prayer that we have, then this avenue to be able to communicate with God, is this fellowship that we have with God on a daily basis that we should be taking advantage of in regard to being before God as often as much as we possibly can as His children. We all have needs. And when I say we all have needs, your needs may be physical. Maybe you're in a place in your life where you have a need for healing, or you have some needs for the relief of pain in your life, something that you're going through. Maybe you're in a place in your life to where you have a need of something of a mental decision, something's going on that you're just exhausted mentally. You're trying to make some decisions, and so you're looking for some wisdom, some discernment. Maybe you're in a place in your life to where your need is emotional. And as you're going through some emotions, you're hurt, you're joyful, you're hurt again, you're joyful. Emotions are all over the place sometimes because of what life throws at us. And you're in need of assurance. You're in need of peace, something to give you that understanding that it's going to be okay. And maybe you're in a place of a spiritual need this morning. A spiritual need in the sense that you face certain temptations. Maybe you're facing certain doubts in your life.
doubts that have arisen that you're questioning your place, your purpose, or whatever the case may be, and you're in this need, and so you're looking to God for strength and that guidance and that direction that only He can supply. This morning, again, I'd have your attention fall onto Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 12 through 16 with an emphasis this morning on verse 16, which is God's invitation for you and I to come to Him in prayer. And so let's read these passages together. These verses will be on the screen. Not all of this context will be up there, but just the latter part of this. So I would encourage you to follow along with me in your Bible, beginning in verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit in both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And here's our emphasis this morning. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive the mercy and find grace to help in time of need. One of the very first things that I hope that we understand just reading this passage of Scripture is that God desires our prayers. God wants your prayers. He wants to commune with you. He wants to be in fellowship with you. He desires intimate conversation with you. He wants you to expound on your troubles and on your needs. He wants your reliance and trust in Him. He wants you in His throne room. He wants you standing before Him, acknowledging how great He is, but also understanding He is Abba Father. God understands the importance of your presence in His throne room. And God desires your presence there. I want you to really let that sink in a second. God isn't trying to push you away. He's not trying to keep you at an arm's length. He's not saying, I'm so busy being God and doing all these God-like things that I don't have time for your simple worries or your concerns or the little needs. Listen, there's other people that have bigger problems than you do. I don't have time for this. That's not the God that we serve. God is not only able, but He is willing to listen to all. In fact, He desires for all of us to be in His throne room. He wants us to approach His throne of grace through our high priest, His Son, Jesus Christ. But here's the question. Who can come? Who's welcome into the throne room? There's a few passages perhaps that we could go to this morning, Proverbs 15, verse 29 being one of them. It states there that the Lord is far from the wicked, but hears the prayers of the righteous. In fact, if you go to Proverbs chapter 1 or Psalm chapter 1, you see this being played out, those of wickedness versus those of righteousness. And what those of evil or wickedness tend to do versus what those who are trying and striving to be with God, what they do. Even James bears this out in the New Testament when we look at James chapter 5 and verse 16, where he says the prayers that are effective come from those who are righteous. And the reason for that is because it harmonizes with what we find in Proverbs 15 that says the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. And so that begs the question, what does it mean to be righteous? It doesn't mean to be perfect. But what it does mean, as it correlates with Hebrews chapter 4, it means that I'm accessing God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we close out the sermon this morning. What it means to be in Christ Jesus. What is it that makes me righteous? What is it that allows my prayers to be heard and answered by God? There's only one way. In fact, I'll even go this far at this very point. That is what we find in John 14 and verse 6. Because this emphasizes this passage all the more. It gives a deeper meaning to Jesus' words, and that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, nobody, not a single one can come to the Father but through Him. And so to think for a minute that I can access the throne room of God, and perhaps there's a little bit of a play on of words here. Because when we think about in the Old Testament, when kings were represented in the scriptures and things were spoken of, just freely walk into a king's throne room. If you didn't have access to that, that was certain death. You were not welcome just to access the king anytime you wanted. It was only by invitation. Our prayers are invited by God. He has offered the invitation to come into His throne room. But there is a prerequisite here. There is an understanding that I can only access that invitation through one means, actually one person, and that is Jesus Christ. That is the qualifier, that God has deemed that our prayers be through Jesus, our high priest. Because if you think about it, try to access the throne room without the blood of the Lamb is to stand before God with an unacceptable sacrifice. God says, it's through my Son. And so how do we do that? How do we approach His throne? Being that we are found in His Son, Jesus Christ, what is my disposition? What is the characteristics that make up the righteous of how they enter into the throne room? And I think for some of us here, we probably can get a kind of a good glimpse or some type of an idea that if we were to walk into some monarch, if we were literally to walk into some throne room here on this earth, we're not just going to haphazardly kind of just walk in and just be like, hey, everything's cool. This is my, this, oh, wow, look at this place. And just kind of walk up and get a high five from the king and just act like this is common. We know we wouldn't do that. If we had access to a throne room, we're probably going to be a little bit nervous understanding the importance of that. We're going to recognize there's a certain disposition about us that should be there out of respect and understanding of what we're getting ready to approach. How much greater then is it when we go into the throne room of God? Something I have often told some of a brethren, man, as they lead prayer. Man, when you lead prayer, you're not just praying. You're taking the congregation into the throne room of God, and you're leading in that. You're taking everyone that is among us in our minds and our spirits, and you're putting us before God's holy. What an awesome thing that is. And what a serious occasion that is. Hence not praying haphazardly. Hence praying in the Spirit. Hence not being rote in our prayers. Or just saying the same thing that we say every prayer. But recognizing thought and understanding need to go into what we say to God Most High. That this is an occasion not for pride, not for some lacking of humility, not an occasion of just, hey, thank you, God, for this real quick, and I'm out the door. But recognizing that we've been invited to stand before the throne of grace and to petition the Lord, to see Him, to talk with Him. That is of great importance. And so how do we, what is our disposition? I'm going to suggest four things to you this morning. If you're taking notes, write these down. If you're using the bulletin, the sermon notes there, jot these down. Number one, first disposition is that we need to be approaching with humility. Pride has no place before the high priest of heaven. No place through Him or before God the Father who is in heaven. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 says, humble yourselves under God that He may exalt you at the proper time. We, as mere human beings, as children of God, we don't have the right to exalt ourselves. Surely, and most definitely not before God Almighty. Who are we to say, God, look at me? You remember the Pharisee and the tax collector? Jesus gives us the understanding of the difference of prayers, two men, one, a Pharisee, who stood in the middle of the court and said, God, look at me, how great I am. I tithe this much. I give this much. I pray this much. Look how great of a Pharisee I am. And then the tax collector that wouldn't even dare lift up his head over there in the shadows says, Lord, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Humility. One of the best prayers I've ever heard prayed. We're at Embry Hills in Atlanta, Georgia. D. Bowman was holding a meeting there. It was on that very topic. And one of the elders closing out the service that evening had closing prayer, and he stood up and he says, Lord, forgive us, for we are sinners. You could have heard a pin drop. It was so powerful. The humility that was present. James writes, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and He will exalt you. Grace and pride are eternal enemies. It's very difficult. In fact, it's impossible for me to be a recipient in the throne room of God of His grace when I'm standing there with pride. When I'm thinking that it's all about me. When I'm thinking, God, you should be lucky that I'm here. And maybe we're not that forward with our thinking. Maybe we're not that bold in a negative way to say that to God. But what do our actions say? What do our actions say when we do approach His throne haphazardly? God, I got something going on. I don't have time to pray like that. I got a schedule to keep. I got responsibilities. Or not even to put thought and thinking into the wording that I'm going to say. I just kind of throw my words out there and see where they stick. You know how to disassimilate those things. You know how to put them back together. And so I'm just going to let you figure that out. I got things to do. It's about me. It's about me. It's not about me standing before God and making it about Him. And so humility is needed. Pride demands that God blesses me because of my merits, whether they're real or imagined. That's what pride says. God, you owe me. That's that Pharisee mentality. How pharisaical do we need to be to realize that God does not accept that heart? Whereas when we think about humility, it doesn't earn us the grace of God. What your humility does, because no, none are righteous, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we're all deserving of death, but having a humble heart and stepping before God in God's throne room, what that does, it gives us an opportunity. It puts us in a position to be a recipient, to be a benefactor of God's grace. May we never think for a minute that because I'm there, God owes me His grace. We're merely benefactors because of first what Jesus did for us. Not because of what any of us have done for ourselves. And so we need to understand that while the throne room of God should be familiar to us, it must always be hallowed. That is why Jesus, when He was teaching His disciples how to pray, pray this way. The very first thing is, hallowed be your name. We approach Him with reverence and fear, knowing who He is. God Almighty, creator of all things. Boldness should be taken there, but not presumptuous thinking. To think for a minute that I can presume upon God what He should be is not to be humble in spirit as I approach His throne of grace, with all humility and with all reverence. Secondly, I would suggest to you, not only with humility should we approach the throne of grace, but also with joy. These verses are so personal because they are a personal invitation to you and to I from the high priest to go into the throne room of grace, to enter the presence of God, to come before His throne. How many of us, you go out and you get your mail, or maybe it's an email, or maybe it's a text, but anyway, whatever the case is, someone sends you an invitation. And it's an invitation to some very special event that you were hoping that you were going to get invited to. And just how joy-filled you are about that. You're anticipating it. You're looking so forward to being there, to being to taking part in the events and all. This is the joy. This is who we ought to be going before God. The joy that we should have. Think about it. We are permitted to commune with God, to have a conversation with God. What might we find there? Well, you're going to find grace. You're going to find mercy. We talked about some needs, the physical, the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, those needs that we have. Well, when we're before the throne of grace, guess what? God is listening. In fact, I would go as far as to say that he knew it before we even arrived. But he needs us to commune with him, to bring these things out. We might find forgiveness, dealing with temptations, the strength for us to be able to sustain through those temptations or just troubles in life, that we might be able to find peace and blessings. Listen, all these things are possible right before God. When sorrows and burdens are heavy, go to the throne. When temptation is knocking on your door, go to the throne. When you feel less than you ought to, when you're questioning, when you're doubting, go to the throne. When you're happy and you're singing and you've been blessed, go to the throne. Pray without ceasing. Our Father wants us there. The high priest has called us there. And so our hearts should be stirred with joy, knowing that we can go before his throne. And 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34 says, giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Listen, throne room visits, these visits that we make before God's throne of grace, should be something that we look forward to all the time with joy, anticipating that with joy. Unfortunately, for some Christians, much like breathing, they've been holding that spiritual breath way too long. Maybe because of sin, maybe because of something that's beset them, troubled them, challenged them in their Christian walk. But they've been holding that spiritual breath for so long. And they think they can just approach God's throne occasionally and that they're going to be able to be okay. Try doing that physically. Hold your breath for the majority of the time and see how okay you are. It doesn't work physically and it doesn't work spiritually. We can't think for a minute that we can tippy around prayer with God, that we can just occasionally use God as we see fit to kind of get some of the things that we're hoping to get in life. And then, you know what, once we have them, kind of put them on the back burner and kind of go back into life the way we want it to. It doesn't work that way. We put ourselves in a very troubled state personally by doing that. Third, I would suggest to you that we need to approach with confidence or boldness. We approach the throne with this confident spirit. And because it is the throne of grace, because we have this invitation, we should not hesitate. This isn't like, you know what, I'm hoping that God will let me in. That's not the invitation you received. That if you show up between this time and this time, you might have access to the first 100 visitors, but you got to be here on time. That's not the invitation that we received. He says, come. Come into the throne room. We shouldn't hesitate. We should be confident. We should be bold in this. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request with which we have asked from him. When you read this passage, not just the word confidence, but just the idea that asking according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, why? It's because he's promised that. He's told us again back in Proverbs 15 that he hears the prayers of the righteous. And he's told us. You go to Matthew chapter 6, the chapter that we sometimes subtitle, Don't Worry. That God knows your needs, but you need to go to God and you need to seek him in prayer and speak of those needs. And if we know that he knows these things, how confident can we go before Him. Listen, we approach Him on His throne with confidence and boldness. I just want you to let that sink in. You're not coming to the throne of grace to be judged. You're not coming to the throne of grace to be condemned. You're not coming to the throne of grace to be punished or to be rejected. It's called the throne of grace. You're coming to the throne of grace to receive, so that your God will hear what it is that you have to say. You're receiving from God when you come to His throne of grace, grace and mercy and help in the time of need. Our prayers should not be so much give me prayers as much as they should be make me prayers. Don't misunderstand me. If we are in need of food, if we're in need of health, if we're in need of something that we're lacking, clothing or shelter, whatever the case may be, deliverance from something, ask for it, because God says He knows that you need that, so ask Me. He wants to be able to see you asking in faith, that what you ask, that He is able and willing to give in faith. But how much better are make me prayers? Make me prayers are in line with His God given will for us. God, make me a better elder. God, make me a better preacher. God, make me a better deacon. God, make me a better husband. Make me a better father. God, make me a better brother in Christ. Make me a better citizen. God, make me, mold me, shape me, have me be what You want me to be, according to Your will, not mine. Make me pure in heart. Make me stronger in the faith. Make my soul's conscience be ever before me, that I'll be pricked by the evil things that are out there to turn away from them. Make me everything that You desire me to be. I'm thankful for what I've been able to become because of what Your Son Jesus did, but continue to mold me and shape me and make me into His image. We are not to be approaching God's throne of grace as poor beggars. We come before Him, before His throne, as His children. Let us understand that as His children, we're standing in the receiving room of God. We are standing on holy ground. I want you to think about this. We're standing in a room where angels bow. Let us pray accordingly. Finally, I would suggest to you that prayer is something that we should always do because it's a desire to be done daily. While our prayers ought to be tempered with reverence and humility and submission, let us never forget Paul's admonition there in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And if that's true, which it is, because God said it's true, that He is able to do far more abundantly than you can ever even think of or ask of Him, then why does our desire sometimes wane in going into that throne room? For many Christians, it can be a challenge to humble oneself daily in prayer. And if we're honest with ourselves, which I think we ought to be, we can struggle in prayer. I've had moments in my life to where I didn't feel like praying. You just struggle in your prayers. Whether it's a struggle in your life, whether it's some sin that you're dealing with and the guilt of it, whether you just feel a disconnect between you and God, or whatever the case may be, you struggle. And we maybe have been Christians for 20, 30, 40, we may be veteran Christians, but for some reason, to get up the strength and the boldness and the joy to go before God's holy throne of grace is a struggle. For those who have been walking with the Lord for many years, daily prayer can become stale. It can become lacking. It can lack the proper conviction. It can lack the proper reverence. Because it's something that we get into a rut with sometimes. Something that we just do. You know, there's the meal before me. Let's say prayer. Go right before bed. Let's say prayer. How many of us say prayer at nighttime? And we find ourselves waking up. And you know what? I didn't finish that prayer. I guess, you know, as someone once told me, there's no better way to go to sleep than with the Lord on your mind. I agree with that. Amen to that. But if I keep falling asleep on my prayers, I want you to think about that. You're falling asleep in the throne room. Maybe we should get out of bed and kneel and bow our heads and pray instead of laying down and putting our heads on the pillow and praying. Whatever works for you. But let's think about that. It's very easy for us to get into a rut in our prayer life and to take it for granted. And so whether you are a new believer or whether you've been an established believer, daily prayer should always be understood that it's daily fellowship. It's a daily communing with our Heavenly Father. And it's something that we very much need in our day-to-day lives. Four suggestions for you this morning. I hope you like those. I hope you wrote those down. Be able to make use of them. If you're using a songbook this morning, I encourage you to go ahead and get that out. In just a moment, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been selected for us. As we close, I just want you to know that we can approach God with boldness. Not based on what we have done, but based on His character. Based on His promises. And we can come to Him because of His grace, because of His mercy, and because of the help that He desires to give us. And to me, it's just amazing. It's just awe. I'm just in awe that it's even that an amazing God says, come to Him. Welcomes us into the throne room. It says the psalmist asks, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? And we should think that way. Like, I am so thankful for the opportunity and the avenue to go before God's holy throne room and be a recipient of that. But at the same time, I need to keep in the right perspective. Who am I that God would think of me? Daily prayer is a good way to understand this incredible truth because it is a It is a marvelous privilege that God has given to us. As you see on the screen, it's not a right, it is a privilege. God is never too busy to hear from His children. We are citizens of His kingdom. As we turn our thoughts now as to whether or not you can call Him your Father. Are you a child of God this morning? Are you a citizen in His kingdom? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know the one who is called the high priest that we read of in Hebrews chapter 4? The one that is the way, the only way that you can access the Father. Do you know Jesus? And if you don't know Jesus, we would love to talk with you about Jesus this morning. Whether it's as you're leaving, whether you're watching online, get a hold of us. Let us know. Let us talk to you about Jesus and how Jesus can change your life. But if you already know about Jesus, you know that He's the Son of God. He came, He lived a perfect life, a sinless life. That He is your propitiation. He redeemed you because of the outpouring, the free outpouring of His blood on the cross at Calvary. And if you believe with all your heart that He is the Son of God, we're told that if we confess Christ with our mouth, He will confess us before the Father in heaven. But we're also told that we're to repent of our sins, to turn away from those things. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we're told, repent, every one of you, and be baptized. For what reason? For the forgiveness of sins. If you're here this morning and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but you've not been baptized, this baptistry, this lid, this Lord's table can be filled up with water in moments. and you can be baptized. As we read in Romans chapter 6, the burial of the old man, the raising of the new man, wash away the sins, begin fresh, begin new with God as your Father, knowing that you have access to that throne room. Will you become a benefactor of that this morning? If we can encourage you anyway, come now as together as we stand and sing.